All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Untitled Esports Show. My name is Gutex, and I'm joined here on either side, flanked, if you will, by my two favorite esports veterans. We got Zorin over here, coming to you also live from LA, and Slasher over here, back from the internet dead, coming to us from New York. Guys, how's it going?
Before we continue, I just want to point out that I think Slasher is frozen on your feed. So while we can't see him moving, we can probably hear him.
Now he dropped out of the Skype call. Oh, wait.
Oh,
no. Be back?
No.
There he is.
Okay.
There he is. What did you do? Okay, hold on.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was literally working up until the moment we went, oh, no, we're good now.
All right, now it's fine.
We're good, right? We're good? Okay.
Welcome back. Slasher back from the internet dead.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, how did it feel?
Shout out to Optimum Online. as we'll see later today when we talk about it, I have a lot of faith in Google with Stadia. Because as you know, I have a lot of trust in my ISP. I think they're a great company. They're always looking out for my best interests and the best interests of the internet. And based upon my own experiences with Time Warner Cable, which is now Spectrum, over the last 20 years of my life, I could not be more thrilled with the future of relying on them for cloud-based gaming. Only can be good things, I'm sure.
Sounds promising.
Yep.
God, when you put it like that, I just can't help but agree with you, Slasher. As a Spectrum user myself, having used the service ever since moving to the great United States of Freedom, the internet experience has just been faultless and has never, ever, ever let me down.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down, Zorin.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. It was like last week, right after we finished, all sorts of crazy different announcements. So it's been a big week. But I guess, yeah, let's start with the big
stuff.
Well,
most importantly.
What?
Most importantly.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan. Oh, Ryan.
What?
Gutex.
Yes.
It's your birthday.
It is. It is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Pog is in the chat, everyone.
PogChamps in the chat. I want this fucking chat spamming PogChamp the entire fucking show. Do you hear me, Twitch chat? All three of you in there, you better be fucking spamming PogChamp the entire goddamn show, or I'm going to ban you. I'm going to ban you from the fucking chat. We will have no fucking chatting from now on unless you spam PogChamp.
We even have a Twitch staff member in the chat as well, PogChamping for you. So thank you, Inferno, for joining us.
All right. Yes. Thanks for hanging out this weekend, Zorin.
Yeah, I'm still hurting. I'm just kidding. It's fine. It was a great time.
Yeah, wait until you get to be my age, young lady.
What are you hurting from? What did you two do?
From being out all night? What did you think I meant? Dude, we were out partying.
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm asking what the pain is from.
The pain of being out past her bedtime.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly right. We all know I'm always in bed. And look at those PogChamps. Keep it up, everyone. That is beautiful.
If there are any fucking words in Twitch chat besides PogChamp, I am permabanning you from the goddamn channel. Don't fuck up Twitch chat. Don't fucking test me.
Does anyone have the animated PogChamp? That one's like the gold level one, right? Like
Or Poggers.
You gotta
Poggers.
Send the bits and cheers for that.
Okay.
it's been a fun couple of days. Thank you guys for being around to celebrate with old man Gutex. Just wait, one day that'll be you.
At the end, we all just become old man Gutex. That is the fate that awaits us.
Oh yeah. You laugh now. Just wait.
See, you all out there have to know this is a real esports show. Everyone on this show is 30 years of age or over, and that's how you know we are actual
esports veterans. Here.
I mean, a lot of people try to front, you know, but time is on our side.
Can't fake experience.
Exactly.
I mean, we're not in, like, the retirement zone with people like Sir Scoots or DJ Wheat, but we're definitely there.
Ooh, shots fired.
In terms of where we're going.
Hey, you know what, Rod? One day there'll be some esports consultant, you know, he's going to be number two, and he's going to be trying to dethrone you, and you'll be in, you know, of retirement age, as you call it, and then you'll know how it feels to have these kids nipping at the heels. Losing your edge. Anyways, all right, let's talk about this.
Damn, dude, you hit a nerve there. You had no comeback.
I know.
All right, let's move to the topics.
All right, here we go. All right, so earlier today at GDC, there was a little announcement from a little company you may have submitted all of your personal data to at one point or another. Google announces a game streaming platform called Stadia. They gave very few details in this little montage, aside from a lot of people playing games on the platform and whatnot. But luckily, Kotaku had the details on what was actually going on. Apparently, you're going to be able to be streaming games in 4K, 60 frames per second, without needing to download anything. And so they tested it on really, really low-powered computers, as well as Pixel phones. And apparently they're putting all of their gaming eggs into the Stadia basket. How exciting. A true competitor to
Stadia.
Xbox, PlayStation, and PC Master Race. Seems promising, question mark?
Well, it's not the first of its kind, right? So I think... Oh, am I frozen? Well, I'm just going to... I'm going to keep on talking as if I am not. But... So I think Ouya, if people remember that console, they actually did try to do some cloud gaming stuff before, and I believe... Maybe it was kind of ahead of its time. The market wasn't quite ready for it, but it didn't go very well, and I don't think it was ultimately was not successful. So, you know, times are a little bit different now. Google launching Stadia. Sorry, I keep on mispronouncing it. I'll get there eventually.
Stadia. I mean, Google Stadia is really where we're all going to.
But what I'm curious about is the trailer didn't actually, like, show... I feel like the trailer was very... unhelpful in showing you, like, the thing of Stadia.
Yeah.
Like, what you actually do, like, what it actually looks like in
on
action.
On purpose, Zareen. Obviously.
Oh, God, I hate when, like, companies have to do that. It's so annoying.
Well, they were, they're trying to be mysterious, and they don't want to give away too many details. All they
said
was
2019. No, that is, okay, you know what? I know they don't want to give details on the price, and they don't want to give details on some of the major titles that are coming. That is fine. But they already made, in the beginning of the announcement, they showed off Doom, which, as I mentioned on Twitter, is incredible to me because id Software actually did something correct. great job, guys. You did fucking one thing good over there. Marty Stratton, great job, bro. I mean,
hey, come on. Doom in 2016 was an amazing game.
Yeah, you know what? Doom is great, and it is, I think it's great that they brought that game to the platform, being, you know, such a legendary developer, even though they've fallen off because they're a bunch of idiots over there. So I think it's great that they brought over Doom. But it wasn't surprising to me that we didn't actually get to see Doom at all during the presentation. And no, Ryan, it's not because they didn't want to, like, they're not trying to save some stuff. You can play Doom on the floor there at the event, so they could have showed Doom on the broadcast to everyone. But no, from the reports that I've seen, of course it fucking lags. Of course there is input lag on the game, especially for PC, obviously. And of course that's the fucking reason they don't want to show it on the fucking mainstream to everyone going out. It's less about them not wanting to give things away and trying to hide the obvious problems with all of this is the input lag and general overall latency on the product, not to mention the reduction in frames for certain games and or aspects. And that is always going to be, like, the problem here. I mean, really, this product from Google is not for the hardcore PC gamer. Mm-hmm. If you are a hardcore PC gamer and you play a lot of multiplayer games, especially online multiplayer games, this platform is not really for you. This is much more for single-player-focused games and experiences that won't be multiplayer esports-centric. This is really not a platform for multiplayer online esports gaming at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trailer kind of got that across as well, right? The kind of games we saw that people were playing and being all happy about were, like, you know, the dancing games and the casual, like, the fun family games. And what other titles did we see in there? I don't recall seeing anything that could even be. Although we did get, like, a couple of, like, moments of, like, people on stage receiving trophies for, like, tournaments or something. So I thought it was weird that they would include that in their trailer when it has absolutely nothing, almost nothing to do with esports or competitive gaming.
Well, at the very beginning of the broadcast, they showed a bunch of different slides at the beginning of the broadcast hinting that maybe it would be Metal Gear Solid, maybe they'd have Skyrim, maybe they'd have Red Dead Redemption, maybe they'd have Call of Duty. Now, looking back at it, they might all just be generic icons for different types of games that could be on the platform, but I'm going to have to believe that they are just hinting at what will be future AAA game title announcements for the platform, because without the big games, no one's going to buy this fucking thing anyway. Mm-hmm. They can't rely on Assassin's Creed and Doom as the only two games to make this thing go. You know, even though they do have, they announced the first party development team with Jade Redmond. Mm-hmm. Leading up the team, and that is cool. That Google, I mean, that might be the best part of this entire thing, is that Google is not going to be paying game developers a lot of money to make games, and Google has the money to pay good game devs to bring over good talent to make good games. So that part is really good.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And for those who are not in the know who Jade Raymond is, she was the producer for the first Assassin's Creed at Ubisoft. She later joined, what did she do later? She went to work on Star Wars, right? So, you know, she's very experienced from the games industry, and I imagine Google is kind of putting a lot of time and resources into getting more developers and talent from the games industry, like Rod mentioned, who know what they're doing and know what to bring to gamers. The other thing that I think is interesting, that some people already mentioned this in chat and have brought this up, that, you know, the U.S. internet infrastructure may not be well-equipped enough for supporting like this.
What are you talking about, Zareen? Zareen, look, America is the number one country in the world. Obviously, we have by far the best internet infrastructure in the world. No contest. No one could beat us. We have high-speed internet across the entire country and in all cities and states in the greater United States of America, Zareen. I mean, why would you even dispute that? We have very, very knowledgeable people in government who know how the internet works and know how
a series of two.
It's best to be used. And on top of all of this, as I mentioned earlier, we as the consumers have so much trust into the ISPs that are running the cores and the infrastructure in America. They have shown time and time again they're on the tip of innovation, and they're always here for the betterment of their customers and the internet. And when you package all those things together, I mean, in my mind, obviously Google will be able to lead the way with their new platform.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, dude.
Thank you.
But what about those other countries?
Welcome. You're welcome.
Like,
no poor problem.
Australia, who just has the world's worst internet. I think that's
fuck Australia.
That is a terrible Australian accent.
The worst Australian accent. Is that what history. I thought?
We have an Australian on our show who's not representing. Yeah, please tell me, Zerain.
I just, well, like the whole Google Stadia thing might as well have said, like, asterisk not available in countries outside of the US or something, you know, like just something like about the, like, yeah, it's just the whole thing. It's just a bit like doubtful because of infrastructure. But if there's anyone who would be able to improve it, it'd be Google, right? They have Google Fiber. They have all the other little thingies, technical thingies around. Very, very knowledgeable at internet, as you can see. Go Spectrum, yay. So, yeah. But anyway.
Well, I think it's a real long-term play by Google. I mean, do you guys have any experience with some of the existing cloud gaming streaming, cloud streaming, cloud stream, game streaming services that are on the market right now?
I've written about them before, but I've never actually
without you wrote up, wait. Hashtag ad, I mean, like, writing I wrote about up the products, announcements. Writing about products you actually haven't tried.
I was in Australia. What was I supposed to do with my copper, like, wire internet connection?
It's like the two.
We're still on modems back there, man.
Okay, all right.
The two end-to-end Tim Tams. Got to throw the kangaroos far enough so that the connection can go further.
Well, I can tell you from experience that even though, despite the fact that we have the greatest internet in this country,
in the world. Thank you.
Despite that, cloud gaming, at least for single-player experiences, isn't actually that far off right now. I mean, I've tried everything from... I've tried Paperspace, I've tried Parsec, I've tried Liquid Sky, and I've tried Shadow. And you'd actually be surprised. It's not really to the level now where you can play fighting games to a level without any lag, but I will say with Parsec, the lag is only on one side, and the lag is always really consistent to the other person, so it is totally possible to do fighting games in the cloud. I think that at the beginning, they're going to be focusing on single-player experiences. You don't have to download it, whatever. Play this on your Pixel while you're in the restroom. Like, they're going to push that at the beginning. But I think as the years go on, and you're, you know, somewhere between a 1 and really like a 2 and 4 year timeline, I think a lot of the infrastructure will improve, the technology will get better, and it will be possible to do competitive cloud gaming like this with this type of service on paper, because it's really not that far off right now. I mean, with Parsec specifically, like, it's...
What are the names of these services?
Parsec. Yeah, how come I've never heard of these before?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, Ryan, you know what? You really convinced me by throwing out three words that you could have said three in anything about. I'm like, oh yeah, really?
I would expect some of the esports veterans of this show to be well versed in all of the cloud gaming services. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm the only one doing the fucking homework around here. I see how it is. Allow me to recap again. Parsec, P-A-R-S-E-C. They're more, they have like a client server system that allows you to connect to a remote PC.
PogChamp. There's more people that believe that Building 11 was an inside job than know what the fuck Parsec is.
Look, they sponsored the last episodes of Excellent Adventures. I did a walkthrough but here's the thing. I was already using it. I already had experience with the platform, with the service before we did the deal. That's why I'm well versed in all these services, because I did all the fucking research ahead of time. Liquid Sky.
Huh? Oh yeah. What was the other one?
Paperspace.
Shadow.
And Shadow.
I know Shadow. I know of Shadow. Shadow is not a little bit different though, right?
I would say that no. Well, I mean, it's different in the sense that only one of those services. Okay, like the one that's different than the other three is Parsec, because Parsec is basically just the client server system.
Yeah, then, the thing that Parsec is different is that they paid Ryan money before.
I just said in the chat, if you pay attention to what we're doing around here, it's in the beginning of the videos. It's the first line of the description. This video is sponsored by Parsec.
I think that's great. Can we please get some sellout PogChamps in the chat, please? Can we get money symbol PogChamp in
what
the chat?
A hater.
All in the chat.
You know, I pitched them on this show, and they were like, Slasher's on it? Fuck that. We're out. We would rather advertise on the show Justin Wong is on. Oh. Yeah. Hey. Sucks to suck. I don't know. I'm just saying. This is the situation around here. But here, this is the thing. I'm well versed in all these services. It's really not that far away, I believe.
Yeah, and you know what? All of those services are going to be dead, and there's literally none of them can do it except for Google. Google is probably the only company in the fucking world that is going to be able to pull the shit off. All those other names that you mentioned are going to end up like on live, and they're going to end up in the fucking garbage can, never to be spoke of ever again.
So your
because
money
they
is on
do
Stadia.
Not have the bandwidth.
No.
Yeah,
God.
You know
you
why?
Because
they're being run by the company with hundreds of billions of dollars and not a bunch of fucking startup losers that are not going to be able to handle cloud gaming.
Just because you have a ton of money doesn't mean you're automatically going to be successful on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what happened when YouTube keeps trying to make live streaming a thing. Guess what, YouTube, Google, it's not going to be a thing.
But now you can share directly to...
Right, for all the people that watch on YouTube Gaming.
Yes.
All the people
watching on
YouTube Live. Look, it doesn't matter how much money they had because Twitch came in and ate their fucking lunch money, dude. You know,
Ryan.
It's true.
Ryan, all 15 people on YouTube Live can now use CrowdPlay and StageShare to share their clips.
I know, and those...
Why are you going to be putting those 15
people plus
down,
you,
right?
All 16 of you are going to have a great time... streaming this shit to your respective large YouTube Live audiences. Yeah, it's going to be great. I really hope that they have contracted for enough bandwidth to support all of that viewership.
Let's not also forget Google's failed before. I mean, they've launched their own
social
networking service.
Live streaming is a bust.
Google Plus.
On YouTube.
Google Plus? The thing that was supposed to take down Facebook in the day.
They're even killing Inbox, the app. I don't know what that is. Oh, you got okay. Well, RIP. Inbox was a really good Gmail app that was put out by Google that was better than the Gmail app, and now they're fucking putting it to bed.
Oh, that's a shame.
But
okay.
Just because they have a lot of money, Rod, ask them about how that Twitch acquisition went.
I have another point to make about this. Look, I totally understand that Google has failed miserably with Google Plus and Google Wave and a bunch of other shit that they've tried to really make work and they can't do it. Okay, but when it comes to cloud gaming and as we talked about, the incredible internet infrastructure here in America. Yeah, Google is on the short list of, like, a handful of people that I think could realistically pull this off. And because, even though, as I mentioned again, I have the utmost amount of trust in my ISPs here in America, including Spectrum and Comcast, Ryan, let me finish. Even though I have so much trust in them, Google can take all of my fucking data, and I'd still probably trust them more to be able to fucking make this shit work than those people. So, yes, Google is literally the only one here that can make this work. Not your fucking bullshit startups that no one has ever heard of. They're gonna die. They're gonna be in the fucking garbage. It's not gonna matter. Google is the only one that could realistically maybe have this succeed.
All right. I think your homework, Rod, is to try some of these other services.
Okay. And the real story here, which I tweeted earlier, I think that as you laugh at Google's failing to acquire Twitch in lieu of Amazon, I think Google was going to acquire Discord. I just get the feeling Discord was the first, like, third-party app they showed in the presentation, not Twitter, not Facebook or whatever. It was Discord stuff, and Discord, I don't think, is really likes Twitch because Twitch tried to make their own app and it's been a fucking disaster.
I really
think that Discord, if they were to sell, they're going to go to fucking Google, and this is going to be Google's way of getting back at Amazon for not acquiring Twitch, and they're going to get a huge play into gaming. I can really see this happening.
Do you have any other evidence that you think points to that besides
Is this a theory or an anonymous source, Rod? Because it's
not. It's not a report. This is just me. Theory. This is just me thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, Discord does not like Twitch. You had Google putting Discord front and center in their presentation on gaming. Discord would only try to accept serious offers. I think Google is top of the list for potential buyers.
Okay. Interesting. I don't think that's going to happen. Discord has raised a phenomenal amount of money. I don't think that being bought out would kind of take away their independence and, you know,
their independence of showing, like, furry child, underage child porn on the service?
Oh,
or, what do you mean, sir? I'm just curious what you meant by independence.
Let's not also forget Google is dealing with that through YouTube as well, so that's a whole separate thing.
Well, then they can come together and create the ultimate furry.
Oh, God. anyway. I feel like Discord, they've raised so much money through funding that they wouldn't want to give away their independence so soon, you know, and they're still making big plays in the space. Really interesting decisions that, frankly, I don't think they would be to do if they were to be bought out by another company.
All right, well,
money talks.
Time will tell. I guess if that happens, then I'm sure we'll be the first to hear about. I'm sure that'll be the story that leads during that week. Good news, guys. I told you. It only took 5 years, but I told you Discord would get acquired by Google. Scroll all the way back to episode number 10. I talked about it 26 minutes into the show. All right.
That is not funny, Ryan. I will actually do that. I will fucking do that.
This is definitely not funny. Let's see.
I'm very offended right now.
I know. I know where your buttons are.
Very upset. I am reporting you to the Twitch TOS.
I think that guy already fell asleep. He'll have to get to that report in the morning. These Twitch donuts ain't going to eat themselves. All right.
Simpsons.
Well, I mean, if we have no nudes here, then I mean, how are the Twitch admins really going to stay?
Oh, I mean, that's because Zorin turned her camera off.
Oh,
what? Wow. We're not off for that yet.
Zorin turned her camera off for like 30 seconds, and all of Twitch staff is like, "Oh yeah, I'm ready now."
What are you guys talking about?
I'm trying to get the sponsors, okay, Zorin?
All right. I am the one who causes us sponsorship problems on the show. It's definitely me, out of control, out of line, saying all the bad things that get us flagged for misappropriation.
That's right.
Like, inappropriate behavior on Twitch.
You owe us one, Zorin. You're on thin ice.
It's out of control.
PogChamps some chat while we switch topics.
All right, let's
I want to see PogChamps. PogChamps are banned.
All right, it was a historic moment. The Simpsons did an episode about esports. I think clearly everybody's need for validation is showing, but it looked like it would have been a halfway decent episode, possibly. Even though The Simpsons, you know, maybe has gone downhill over the years, but, you know, they are really good at predicting the future. I mean, everything from the 9/11 terrorist attacks to, to predicting Donald Trump being president. And now, you know, esports going mainstream, The Simpsons has an amazing track record. So, Conflict of Enemies tournament, $1,000 prize.
Oh, wait till you get to the. Is that wait till you see the final thing.
That... Is that a dig at FGC? Like even the kid, the elementary school kids got an $1,000 prize. Oh my god, I feel personally attacked.
That would be the part that you feel personally attacked by. The prize money only being $1,000. That's true. Well, I watched the whole episode, obviously, as I've posted 6 clips on my Twitter, all copyrighted Fox material, and not only has nothing happened, but the Simpsons writers and the Riot CEO have been retweeting my copyrighted content. So even though I said publicly I thought the show was not fucking funny, thank you, Fox, for leaving
that. Posting up quite a lot of clips for this not being very funny.
I wanted to show people what these were the highlights of the episode. I will say that the scene about dudes not being able to talk about anything other than video games was pretty funny.
When the guy walks in and Marge opens the door?
Yeah, that might be the best part of the episode, because that's how, like, normally gamer dudes talk to women. They can't mention anything except for video games, and that seems pretty accurate. And then the clip, which I think got the most viral, was the standard, "You play video games for money?" Which, I mean, obviously I could have seen happening a mile away, but it is really cool to kind of see it happening on The Simpsons and in such a pop culture way. I also think it's really cool that Freak, who is a commentator for Riot, actually got his voice into the show. So in a few ways... Okay, look, yeah, The Simpsons isn't really fucking funny anymore. It hasn't been funny for, like, 15 years now since the early days of the show. But considering it is, like, the longest-running television show in America and it has so much history, them doing a pretty accurate representation of esports and video games for the show, I think, is pretty cool.
A little too accurate. But it's funny because it's true.
So I haven't seen the episode, but does it seem like they really did their research and getting, like, all the right kind of, you know, yeah, feel and the format of everything? That's awesome.
I wow, definitely say so, yeah.
We've made it, everyone. Esports is mainstream.
You'll be sorry. Okay.
yeah, I mean, it only took esports having a shitty Simpsons episode to make sure that everyone knows that now it's mainstream.
Now it's legit.
Or dead. It's either mainstream or dead. Now that it's been done by The Simpsons.
This is the beginning. Exactly. This is the beginning of the end. Easily. All right. Let's see. Moving on. Where is it? EA creates a high-end competitive gaming broadcast studio. Wow. Look at. They pulled out all the stops. They got the brick wall with the burned-in EA. Redwood City, former home of all kinds of fighting game alumni. That's where good old Combo Fiend, Mike Ross, and even Ian Covino passed through Redwood City. It's nice over there. They're going to build this studio so that people can play. So they can rent it out to people like this person who wants to take on all comers in games like Apex Legends and the inaugural event, March 15th through 17th. Oh, that just happened. Nobody died, nothing caught on fire. Must have been a success. That's pretty cool.
Maybe not the best joke to use for the EA competitive gaming. But you know what? Cool. Great. EA is so far behind on, like, supporting esports. Fucking do something, EA.
They are actually doing stuff. And I am interested to see... I mean, this is not the first time a publisher's built a studio for, you know, their competitive or their esports side of their business. But I'm hopeful that this also means that they're going to do something interesting with Apex Legends, which is, of course, their big, big title right now and has a lot of competitive or esports potential. And they've yet to announce anything official, but I think having a stadium, or sorry, a dedicated space or production studio available to put content in is definitely a good start. So maybe we'll see Apex Legends there before long.
Of course, you can't broadcast an entire Battle Royale game within the studio, as games like mm-hmm. Apex Legends have 60 players at a time, but the studio has room for an audience of about 50 people. Okay, I'm getting there.
That isn't, hey, when there's a will, there's a way, yeah. All right?
I mean, you know, EA can do shit with FIFA, they can do shit with Madden, and those are probably the two titles that they're focusing on. But honestly, I'm waiting for EA's support of Apex Legends. EA, this is their time with a game that's going incredible and doing so well for them to not drop the fucking ball and to get in on what is already a very competitive community. You have just about every single esport org organically already getting players. Just make the fucking tournaments good and it'll do well. I'm pretty sure.
What do they have to do to not drop the ball and to actually make it good in a perfect world?
They should go along the same route that Epic did with Fortnite in terms of making the tournaments like a combined streamers who are really good at the game and pro players. I think that was a pretty successful strategy for Fortnite. Except they should not do things like make major updates to the fucking game the day before the tournament so it would get on broadcast to promote the marketing of the game instead of the actual competition. So as long as the EA does the first part and doesn't do the fucking stupid bullshit in the second part, I think they'll do pretty good.
You know what would be hilarious? If they came out with the custom game mode before Epic Games came out with their one for Fortnite. Because that would absolutely kill it.
I mean, Epic is so far ahead. I mean, like, in general, Epic's Playground mode has already spawned some really cool shit. It's kind of funny that Epic has created this, like, really incredible custom game portion, and they don't have the simple custom private server to, like, actually practice the real Fortnite game. It's fucking kind of insane that is happening. So, yeah, maybe EA could get on, like, the private server portion of things. But they still are pretty far behind that they have to work on other stuff. So it wouldn't... I'm not holding my breath, but it is an opportunity for them. Yes.
Sounds promising. Okay, let's see. You guys want to talk about Call of Duty?
Oh, all right. I'm going to have to drop out for that topic, but I'll be back.
Gotta go.
And I'm still going to be here right after you finish talking about it. So carry on.
All right. I'm just going to
okay.
Turn. Oh, okay. All right. She beat me to it.
That's definitely not weird.
Wait.
Ryan, you want to explain? Okay, so apparently... Do you want to, or should I?
No, go for it.
Okay, so apparently me and Ryan before the show were told that Zorin had spoken to Activision.
I don't know if she wants you to
anything that happened with Activision other than that she cannot talk about this topic. Which is great. So Zorin is our shill for this entire segment right now, selling out to the man. Maybe Zorin is the one giving $25 million to get a spot. Maybe that's what it is, Ryan. Zorin is buying a spot. She actually had $25 million in the bank this entire time. We just never knew. She's going to be hosting the first Australian spot in the league.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, if you got...
We should start the speculation now.
If you got $25 million, you too can have your very own Call of Duty franchise, and you could base it in Australia if that's what you wanted to do. I guess they are following in the footsteps of Overwatch League and are continuing to go around and collect millions and millions and millions of dollars for a spot in the Call of Duty World League Pro League. I'm pretty sure they have League in there twice. But yeah, so pretty big news for Call of Duty fans. Yeah, $25 million, just a drop in the bucket for the right person, right?
I guess so, and that's kind of how like Activision Blizzard are playing this. You know, the Call of Duty major happened this past weekend in Fort Worth, and I don't believe they peaked over 80,000 people on Twitch the entire weekend.
They didn't sound like they need you to introduce them to the Red Bull ViewBot.
Very good point, Ryan. I'm surprised they didn't go ahead with that type of tactic. But the viewership was like okay, but not amazing. And look, I will admit that Call of Duty is a more storied franchise than something like Overwatch, where it does have over 10 years of endemic rivalries with organizations that have grown from that community, including FaZe, including Optic, including Envy, and so on. And it has some advantages over Overwatch, but even Overwatch had an international audience. It had all of Korea playing the game. It has all of China. And those are two regions that Call of Duty does not have, being a primarily console game. Overwatch has the entire PC esports market, which has generally always been more favorable to esports than console. And even the first season of Overwatch, this spot costed $20 million. So how the fuck is Activision Blizzard getting this big of balls to try to get $25 million from people to pay Call of Duty? And I'll tell you how. Even though there's no way Call of Duty is worth $25 million, they were able to sucker in already a bunch of owners for $20 million in Overwatch, including several of Bobby Kotick's best friends, including the Will Pons of the Mets, who own NYXL, and Kraft, who got his dick sucked at a rub and tug in Florida of the Boston Patriots and Boston Uprising. And they're probably feeling, look, if we can get that money for Overwatch, we can definitely milk another $25 million from these people. Again, they're not going to say no. And you know what? They're probably right. Activision Blizzard, to me, is the very best sales team in all of esports. Even though that League of Legends gets way more viewership in total than Overwatch League, Overwatch League has the most amount of non-endemic major title sponsors of any esports organization or league in the world, and they're able to do it with what a lot of people in esports consider an inferior product. Either they don't like Overwatch and they laugh at Overwatch in general, as someone who like, you know, has complained about the game itself has a lot of problems, or they don't like Blizzard and the way they handle esports. For, you know, various reasons. So as much as Overwatch League gets shit on from all types of directions, they still were able to sell out every single spot at $20 million season one, $40 million in season two, and have all the title sponsors. So is Call of Duty worth $25 million? No. Will they get it? Yes. All of it. They will get all the money, and they will sell out of all the spots.
I think the real lesson here is that it all comes down to the strength of your sales team. You and I may not think that Call of Duty is worth $25 million a franchise. Overwatch is worth 20, 40 million, whatever million a franchise. We don't think so. But the people with the ability to sell believe it and are able to put up these MVP numbers and artificially inflate the value of the market over and over and over. And for that, that was impressive. I wish I knew more about the people on the sales team, because I feel like they have like some sort of future speaking engagement tour. How I sold $25 million franchises for Call of Duty. Now there's something I would pay good money to watch. I gotta work on my closing, and these guys got it figured out. So I'm impressed. I mean, you know, a lot of us didn't think that Overwatch League, you know, would be able to sell at that price point, and now here comes Call of Duty. But hey, you know what? Maybe we'll look back and be like, wow, like $25 million, what a deal.
I mean, it is possible. that it ends up this way. It is possible. But Call of Duty really has a ton of problems going for it, where it almost has more problems than Overwatch in certain ways. And Overwatch has a fuck ton of problems. But, I really, it's a bunch of MLG guys, by the way, the sales team.
Really?
Pete Vascella, who joined as the MLG president, has been the one running the show and has been handling a lot of the sales. And someone like Josh Sella, who is one of the heads of MLG's sales team, is now at Activision Blizzard and has been the one working at Overwatch. So a lot of the crew, a lot of the main crew of the sales team has come from MLG, and a lot of experience that MLG people brought. And that really is one of the big successes of this league. You can talk shit as much as you want on Blizzard and the fucking game and the way that they've handled everything, but they made money. Yes.
Sales team's killing the game.
And really, that's the most important thing. For all of you out there who don't know how, the internet works, as someone who's come from multiple major organizations, it really doesn't even matter how much traffic you get if you're a content creator. It just matters if you have a salesperson who can sell the fucking content for you, or a sales, team in terms of how you sell your shit online. There's content out there that gets no fucking traffic and no one watches their goddamn show, but because they had a good sales team, they got $500,000 in ad money for their fucking bullshit content show that nobody fucking watches because they had a good sales team. And you could have a show that millions of people watch, but because they don't know how to fucking, they don't know how advertising works on the internet, or they don't have a sales team, they make no money. And this has happened on the internet over and over and over and over again. Overwatch League is just one of the better examples of this.
True story. I tip my hat, my esports hat, is off to the Activision Blizzard sales team. What a bunch of legends, superstars even. And I guess if they have any extra, they needed some other inventory to sell, good old Untitled Esports Show, we'll cut you, we can work out a great deal, Activision Blizzard sales team. You guys can keep a big percentage, a way higher percentage than I'm sure Activision Blizzard gives them. So, hit your boy up, and then, we'll work something out. And then, the future of the Untitled Esports Show will be secured thanks to the Activision Blizzard sales team.
Yeah. Also, because Zareen is going to be giving her $25 million away, we really need funding here. So please get in touch with Mr. PogChamp. PogChamp's in the chat for PogChamp. Someone get us some of that 25 mil. We'll put it here to good use on this show.
Exactly.
We'll fill your inventory with great ad sales.
Kuda Wuda says, Untitled because the title is for sale? Ha ha!
Actually, it is. Actually, it officially is for sale.
Yeah, next week, it's going to be the Activision Blizzard Esports Show.
Or, if you want to put up enough money, we'll name it Big Dick Nick, and we'll name it after you, the Big Dick Nick Show. It's all good. Whatever you want out there, just send us money, and we will sell out for a certain amount. Yeah. Not too low, of course. I mean, we're esports here on the show. We're not fighting game community level. We're esports level. So there is a certain limit you do have to hit.
Expectations, yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the title is the For Sale Esports Show. Exactly. Yes. Allow us to be your shills. Zareen is already shilling for them. I'm shilling for Parsec. Rod is shilling for The Simpsons. But it changes. It just depends on the length of your ad campaign with the For Sale Esports Show. All right.
I mean, Fox, if you want to sponsor this show, I could ramp up the racism really hard. And we could go all in, Fox, if you want to pour in the money to this show. I will ramp it up to Tucker Carlson really fast.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, we're on Twitch. We're already on a platform where it's already acceptable for a lot of ways. I will go fucking all in, Fox News.
That's true. We really haven't been focusing a lot of our resources on being more racist, but I guess we could if we really tried. Okay. All right, deal. Well, we got some action items for next time.
Okay, great. I'm sure this will not be taken out of context at all. This will definitely
All right. Well, I am cautiously optimistic about the continued success of the Activision Blizzard sales team. But hey, if it doesn't work out, you guys can always come sell ads for us. Moving on. This past weekend,
are we bringing back our co-host now that
our co-host?
Yeah.
Zoreen, is it safe to come out? Did we get you fired?
I should no, I'm good. Let's go. I don't know what you're talking about, but what are we talking about now? Final round, right?
Oh, I accidentally leaked that you're paying for one of the spots.
Oh, damn. That sucks. Well, I guess you are number one consultant for a reason.
I mean, it happens. I told you I was going to scoop you if it had to happen.
Well, if there's anyone who had to scoop me, I guess I'm okay with it being my lovely co-host on the Untitled Esports Show.
No hard feelings.
It's right, a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Turn your camera back on.
I did.
Oh. Oh, I see it. Oh, I see. Okay, I just had to refresh here. Got it.
Okay. Yeah, you should be able to see me. Oh, hi, everyone. Okay. I'm back. Wow, look at that. The internet's amazing.
Long time no see. All right, let's see. So, also this weekend was the first stop on the Capcom Pro Tour. It was final round in Hotlanta, and good old Punk came out of loser's bracket to defeat Momochi to take first place. He won. He takes home 700 Capcom Pro Tour points, which essentially nearly guarantees him a spot in Capcom Cup in December. Really great performance. Really great to see Punk, make such a splash at the top of the Capcom mm-hmm. Pro Tour. Congrats to him.
Yeah.
What a big win.
That event was stacked as well. It wasn't an easy win. Like, everyone was there pretty much.
Yeah. A lot of Americans in top eight as mm-hmm. well. Quite the rarity. Tampa Bison, Brian F.
Oh, Brian F. was on fire that weekend. Well done to him.
Yep. A lot of killers. So the next stop on the Capcom Pro Tour, NorCal Regionals at the end of the month. And I'm sure a lot of those same heavy hitters will be trying to take home more Capcom Pro Tour points at NCR. But yeah, Punk off to the races. Quite the performance. Okay, let's see. Okay, moving on. I didn't see this at all. Hold on. So there was a... Rod, why don't you talk about this scoop? Where'd it go? All right. Oops. I broke it. Okay, so there was a... Rod, why don't you tell us what's going on here? There was a 13-year-old deaf girl?
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. All right. I'll give a quick TLDR. There is a 13-year-old deaf girl who has been streaming in Ewok. And she's been like playing Fortnite competitively. She gets like 10 wins in a day. She's actually pretty freaking
really good
for her age and, you know, her not being able to hear in the game. And she was noticed by Tim the Tatman, and she got hosted one time by him and got a ton of viewership and subs. And then another streamer named Mizkith, who was, like, kind of known on Twitch, he was part of, like, the Ice Poseidon, like, CX crew, but has become a little bit more normal. He donated hundreds of subs to her channel, and it became, like, a really awesome night for her, as she had like almost 1,000 subs within a day. She went from like zero to like almost 1,000 subs and hundreds of viewers, almost 1,000 viewers, and it was really heartwarming to see everything that happened for her. Okay. And then I tweeted about this, and I put the video of Mizkith donating the subs, and I talk about how Mizkith and Tim Tatman had donated to her and really made her life great. And it got a ton of attention. It got, like, I don't know, 6,000 likes and, like, over 2,000, 3,000 retweets or whatever. 2 days later, a Twitter account named, like, Hey, It's Ewok, came online, and her first tweet was a thank you to Ms. Kiff and Tim the Tatman for hosting her, and then there was a second tweet to me thanking me for the support that I gave her. Now, I, being a normal human being, thought, okay, well, you know what? It was kind of cool. This 13-year-old girl made a Twitter and thanked us. So I added, like, I thanked her back, and I thought it was cool, and I added her tweet to the main thread of, like, that I made before of Ms. Kiff giving her the sub, saying, oh, now she's on Twitter. Everyone go follow her. Now, I would say I'm a normal person because any normal person would assume that no one would pretend to be a 13-year-old deaf girl on the internet, and that even for some people that's kind of grimy and low. But I'm an idiot because of course someone would do that on the internet. And a few days later, that same Twitter account started tweeting really random things, and it started off by posting a leaked conversation between them and another gigantic YouTube account called the Bee Family, trying to make it seem like the Bee Family was trying to take advantage of her and trying to get her to join their esports organization. So this Twitter account ends up leaking these faked messages, ended up being fake messages between her and the Bee Family YouTube, and starting all of this drama. Then an hour later, the Twitter account starts posting, hey, fuck this deaf girl, follow me, Keemstar Slasher, at this thing. And then everyone's like, oh, well, it must have just been her Twitter account was hacked, which is what I thought, too. I thought originally this was a real Twitter, and her Twitter account was being hacked. I will say also at the same time, in her official Twitch channel, if you typed in !Twitter, it would link to this Twitter account. So I thought it was official considering it was in her Twitch account. And everyone thought that, okay, it was hacked. And then there were already conspiracy theorists saying that the father has been orchestrating all of the fake leaked messages so that it would get more press and get more info, and so that she can get into a major esports organization that she wanted. After the whole hacked account comes out, I realize that I never actually verified or checked originally with the very original Twitter that was made and thanked me and Ms. Kiff. So I actually went to the girl again, and I reached out to her father, and they said they never used Twitter, and they never had used Twitter, and they never made a Twitter to begin with, and that actually nothing was hacked. It was a random person trolling the entire time. It was a random person faking being hacked to begin with because it was never her Twitter in the first place.
But it was linked on her Twitch, you
yes,
said.
Yes, apparently a mod ended up also thinking it was her and added the fake Twitter account to the stream, and she just never noticed it the entire time. So this random dude faked being a 13-year-old deaf girl off the goodwill of the community because it was funny to him, and then a bunch of all this shit happened. And now she has a real Twitter account. Anyway, she's looking to be pro. She has actually had pro organizations now reach out to her afterwards, so there has been, like, a good feeling, good ending.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. I'm never going to handle any more bad news.
You know what? I'm an idiot. I should have realized that, of course, some asshole would pretend to be a 13-year-old deaf girl on the internet. I'm like, duh. Why would I assume people wouldn't do that? And I should have checked to begin with. So I do feel partly personally responsible, but I did make sure to uncover the truth in the end.
Well, thank you for your efforts, and, you know, you tried to believe in people and believe that people could be better than they were, and I guess you learned our lesson.
I'm dumb.
I know where you came from, Rod.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Don't let it happen again.
Right. Let this be a lesson to us all. Do not trust people on the internet.
Never. Never trust people on the internet, especially when they... Yep. Especially anything you see on Twitch like that. Okay. In more optimistic news, new entry into esports territory from a guy you probably have never heard of before, some rapper named Snoop Dogg, announcing the first ever Gangsta Gaming League presented by Mary Jane. It's going to be on Twitch, it's going to be on Mixer, it's going to be on Facebook, YouTube. Snoop Dogg has got it all figured out, as usual. Mixer.com/Snoop Dogg for the Gangsta Gaming League.
So a few things here. One, fuck the Simpsons. Now we know esports is fucking mainstream because Snoop Dogg is really in. Two, my favorite part of the announcement video was that while he was shouting out his Twitch and his YouTube, he had to be told what his Mixer URL was, because obviously he wouldn't fucking know that. Probably my favorite part. Three, the broadcast already happened. It was awful and terrible, which I thought we all probably could see coming. But they get a 420 for trying. And four, as I did include in my tweet, this is literally almost exactly the same thing that he did from 12 years prior, including from the literal abbreviation name. He's calling this the Global Gangster League. 12 years ago, for the Global Gaming League, he ran the Hip Hop Gaming League as the commissioner. And my boy DJ Wheat, as we mentioned earlier, basically got one of the highest times he's ever been in his whole life smoking weed with Snoop Dogg 12 years ago. I am so fucking jealous, more jealous than I think of anything else in this industry. Snoop Dogg retweeted my tweet of me talking about him, and I was pretty excited, so I used that opportunity to ask him straight up if he could smoke me out.
What did his social media manager say?
Did not get a response.
No. Okay.
No.
No comment.
So I'm really fucking sad. DJ Wheat gets to smoke up with Snoop Dogg, but I fucking don't. I mean, this is...
Who's number one now, Rod?
God damn it.
But well, hey, you got that sweet retweet, so he noticed you, obviously, or his social media manager did.
We need to smoke up a lot. This needs to happen.
Well, I'm looking all over for where the stream would be, so I can...
On all those platforms, Ryan, didn't you see?
It's not on YouTube, though. It's not on the channel that they're pushing. Okay, here, let's look at this mysterious Mixer link. How about
that? I'm curious how many people ran that, production. Does it look like...
Whatever it is.
Oh, right, man now?
Look at that! Look at that overlay, though. That is amazing.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. There's 87 people watching right now. We're right up there with Snoop Dogg.
We have as many people watching as Snoop Dogg. That should be our selling point.
Pretty cool. Wow. 30,000 followers here on Mixer. First ever GDL Super Bowl.
Can I just quickly point out for a second that what we're doing now is we're showing a Mixer live stream feed on Twitch TV.
Yeah.
It's like...
That's what we do here. The Twitch cops already fell asleep, dude. We could do whatever we want right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, we could show our tits all over the screen.
Hey, calm down. We got to sell those sponsor slots still.
No, we have Activision Blizzard to sell these spots now. These guys can sell hell, and these guys can sell fire and hell.
Is that a commentary desk that they have as well? Damn, look at these production values. What are you talking about, Slasher? This looks great. They have a bracket and everything.
Okay, maybe it is pretty dope.
Look at that desk.
They got poverty. Dude, they got they got poverty money though. Look at that. What has he got? 10, 20. There's like 40 bucks there, dude. Snoop Dogg keeping it real at all times. I like it. I think what's really interesting about this whole thing is that the whole thing is brought to you by the, I guess it's his cannabis label or company or whatever, Mary Jane. Because I think that this is going to be something that eventually gets put into lawsuit territory, because it's all fun and games when like nobody knows that people are using cannabis to, you know, people are using your game. And when I say your game, I mean like publishers' games to promote cannabis products. It's all fine and good when like nobody's paying attention. But at some point, somebody's going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Did we tell Snoop Dogg that he could be smoking a blunt while he's playing this game?
Somebody
is going to be mad.
No.
No?
Literally, no. If there was any person on the fucking planet that you could name who might be smoking for promotion of the game, Snoop Dogg is probably the number one answer. Like, if we were on the fucking Family Feud and you had to ask the question, which person would be smoking weed while promoting our game, Snoop Dogg is the number one fucking answer. So everyone should understand.
It's all fine and good.
If you're using Snoop to promote the game, he's going to be smoking during the stream.
What I'm saying is that there's going to be an ever-increasing cannabis contingency using games that they're not being, that they don't have deals with to promote their own, you know, whatever, cannabis smokers league or their own cannabis line of new CBD products and drops and whatever. And it's only a matter of time before one of these publishers is like, hey, wait a minute, what the fuck?
I'm pretty sure Snoop Dogg smoked weed literally in the tent at E3 at the Battlefield.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that it's fucking Snoop Dogg. Everyone knows what they're getting into. You have to be a fucking total dumbass to not understand if you are a publisher or developer, which is why EA is going to continue giving Snoop Dogg whatever the fuck he wants, and he's going to continue smoking weed on every single EA stream they ever do.
It's all fine and good when it's the deal that they've worked out. What I'm saying is that there's going to be a growing contingency of cannabis companies that are trying to do gaming stuff that don't have agreements and aren't Snoop Dogg and aren't being paid to smoke weed alongside these games. And here's the thing. I'm not complaining. I don't care. I'm just saying it's going to be an issue for somebody because most developers out there are not going to – I just don't think that that's going to go unchecked for
– Yeah, no, for sure. Long. I think – and there's a lot of brands out there who would never touch anything like that as well. So, like, when – I'm sure they wouldn't be happy about being lumped together with other, you know, brands that have links to cannabis consumption. So
– And it doesn't matter, like, whatever. Shit is legal here. It's legal in Vegas. It doesn't matter. But in the same way that – you might not like it if your game was being used to sell hard liquor, you know, on streams. Like, I'm not saying that there should be laws, but there probably are laws that are going to be put into place to stop these types of things. And just so we're clear, I don't give a shit. Everybody should get high as fuck and play all the games they want and smoke weed all day, every day on stream. It makes no difference to me. But I, because, you know, I believe in freedom, but I think there will be some publishers out there that, I mean, I've seen it with other cannabis brands, and I think it'll be really interesting to see, especially in areas. It's going to get even trickier in states in which it's legal recreationally, because then it's going to be harder for them to push back. But essentially, everybody's really in the same boat, right? Using the IP. That we don't own, rebroadcasting it without a license or permission, and it's all fine and good when it's just one person in their bedroom. But then you bring cannabis, gambling, alcohol, hard liquor into it, and now this is where I feel like the adults start to be like, hey, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here? We can't have this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I was just thinking of the Mango example. So someone, Ponza in chat, brought that up as well. Mango got extremely drunk one night on Twitch while he was streaming and then, like, fell asleep. And some people took that to mean that he passed out from drinking, and Twitch thought it was appropriate to issue him a suspension because of that. But, again, like, where do you draw the line? You know, he claims he just fell asleep. Other people, you know, feel like he drank too much on the stream. It was not a good look. But, again, it's kind of hard, like, to...
Yeah, don't, like, smoke weed and then, like, pass out on your chair while you fucking stream. Yeah, okay. I think maybe we have a general agreement. Don't get really fucking drunk and, like, punch a hole in your wall. or say the N-word or whatever, which we've seen a ton of times with drunk streamers. Yeah, don't do that thing. But drink and smoke normally and do whatever. Take a line off that hooker's ass if you want to. You know, as long as we're practicing family-friendly master content, you know, you should be able to do whatever you want to do on stream.
Before we move on from Snoop Dogg, can I just
Pog
point out...
Pog's in the chat.
Pog is in the chat for Ryan's birthday.
For coke off the hooker.
One of my favorite things about Snoop Dogg's kind of increasing... gaming kind of activations was when he did a Twitch stream promotion to promote a new game coming out called SOS. And what they did was they overlaid him on a green screen over the gameplay footage, and you can see, and like he had his hands down. So, you know, you thought he was playing the game, but then about like 15, 20 minutes into it, he starts like lighting up on the stream, and like the game, like the character keeps on moving and there's things happening. So everyone was like, oh, like he's not actually playing the game. They just overlaid him over gameplay footage and he was pretending this whole time. And then he just didn't care after that. He just sat there and started smoking and was commentating on everything that was happening. And it was hilarious.
Man, Snoop Dogg doesn't have to do a goddamn thing. He has Snoop somebody Dogg else light his blunts while he's playing. Okay? And he has somebody else that's not him to ignore Slasher on Twitter. Snoop Dogg's got all. You ain't going to tell this dude nothing.
That's right.
Well, I'm really interested to see when they expand into fighting games and, you know, $50 cash prize pools. keeping it real.
I'm sure they'll love it.
I like it. Let's see.
Oh, this is about to get dark again.
No, can we make that the last
okay, all right.
topic of the show, please?
Okay, moving on, in other Activision Blizzard MLG news, Sundance has officially left the building. Sundance, he was the co-founder of MLG, helped to take it from, you know, a super small organization running tournaments in college dorm rooms, all the way up to being acquired by Activision Blizzard and making a ton of progress for all of the esports ecosystem throughout the years. And it seems like his time at MLG has come to a close, and this chapter in this particular esports era has been put to rest. The man has made such an impact in esports over the years, and it's awesome to, you know, see all of his success, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next.
Definitely. Did he hint at anything, or did he kind of say he was coming away from gaming?
Has not.
Last I looked, he was actually he's on the board. He's on the advisory board, I think, of a gaming or esports centric cryptocurrency. But I feel like this was like 6+ months ago that I was like doing my esports e-stalking.
Well, that is not gonna work, obviously. So I'm gonna assume that it's
snip that in the bud right now.
What?
Yeah, it's not part of the plan.
Look at Rod. If the Activision Blizzard team can sell Call of Duty and Overwatch League spots for $20, $25, and $40 million a piece, obviously anything is possible, Rod. Talking about fucking shills, we got your local Fiat shill around
here. Hey, Ryan, we didn't put this in the topic, but if it's doing so well, what happened to the FGC coin? The one that Justin Wong has been promoting.
Oh, Esports Eco Coin?
Yeah, because...
There's multiple... Look at... There was FGC Fantasy Gold Coin, which I don't think is doing so hot. But here's the thing. Like, just because one coin doesn't do well, what does that have to do with anybody else's coin?
Means they're all gonna die. It's all a fucking stupid idea. That's what that means.
You heard it here first, guys. Hot take. Cryptocurrency and blockchain. Hashtag no future.
The esports ecosystem coin, which was the main coin that was being promoted by all of the FGC people. And if you go to their website, you will see that it does not exist anymore. Meaning, it's really good that the FGC people all promoted this thing, which definitely is no longer existing. Meaning it's all fucking bullshit, Ryan. All of these coins are fucking bullshit, Ryan. None of them are going to survive, Ryan. All they're doing is duping people for their money. That is literally all these fucking things are. Okay. So I'm really hoping that Sundance's new gig is not some esports crypto coin. Please,
okay, now I have to. Okay, now I have to look it. Okay, now I have to look it up.
Wow, the site is dead. It doesn't work.
Yes.
That's interesting. I mean, like...
It's like, real interesting, huh? Never.
Like you mentioned, a whole bunch of FTC people promoted it. I believe it was for the SoCal Regionals. They sent a whole bunch of players... Or they sent players there to SCR. They also sent players to another major tournament after that, I believe. So...
Ah, here it is.
They definitely made a splash in FGC, and I wonder how many people bought the coins.
Look on, I'm sure, well, I mean, if the site is dead, then I don't know, but you should be able to just look at the ledger and see what see all of the transactions, hence why, one of the reasons why cryptocurrency is a thing,
because of the public. But the whole thing was run by Lapchi, is that correct?
I mean, I think it was Lapchi from Canada Cup and other, I don't know, other crypto partners. I don't know. I'm not here to defend anybody's anything aside from Activision Blizzard's sales team's ability to sell fire and hell. That's the only thing that I believe in. And because of that, I believe that anything is possible, including DreamTeam.gg. Where was it?
To answer V Health question, my favorite esports coin has got to be Dogecoin, which still actually exists and really first got used as a joke and was used a lot within the esports community.
Here it is. I told you guys. The Dream Team token.
Oh yeah.
Advisory board. Sundance.
Yeah, Ralph was there too. There's a lot of people there. Ralph is the CEO of ESL.
Wow. If you combine all their credibility, it amounts to so much credibility of the product.
Yeah, if you combine all their credibility, it's equal to 1,895 token coin, courtesy of Esports Eco.
Oh, okay.
In any case,
kind.
Ryan, this is not going to be his next... I
was just saying, like, this is, I'm just
he could be on the board.
Just trying to say I'm not making this shit up.
Yeah, okay, no, we believed you. You didn't need to back it up with anything in particular.
Yeah, I believed you too. I just wanted to make fun of it for 5 minutes. So, you know,
do you, boo, do you?
I've known Sundance almost 15 years. I've had like a very bumpy relationship with him, both working with him at MLG for several years and interviewing him on multiple occasions. I went through an entire interview with him on Live on 3, which ended up becoming a meme where he says, I get it. I even have a t-shirt somewhere with his face on it, which says, I get it, which I have to get. My last conversation with him in person was at the end of MLG Vegas, and we had a huge argument for 15 minutes where we both yelled at each other and then stormed out and have not spoken to each other since. So I've had like a, you know, a very up and down, but he's still always like had my back in general, and I do always respect him for what he's done at MLG. So without him and his work for the community and what he did at MLG, esports would definitely not be where it is today, especially considering all the shit that they got from traditional PC esports people as they were doing console and they were doing Halo, and a lot of people didn't give them respect because they have been, you know, PC elitists. MLG really has done something that a lot of people couldn't do then and still can't do now. So Sundance deserves a lot of props for what he was able to do.
Yes.
With the company.
Definitely changed the game. Looking forward to what he's doing next. All right, let's see. Go ahead.
We can skip the Aldi one. We can skip.
Yeah, great.
All right, let's go and talk about ESPN and the creation of the Collegiate Esports Championship on ESPN. They announced this, I feel like, right after we finished last week, but I thought it was still a pretty big deal for all of the people either in college or the people in our audience that know people in college or maybe even have children that will someday be in college. The titles that are going to be in the Collegiate Esports Championships are Overwatch, Street Fighter V, Hearthstone, StarCraft II, and Heroes of the Storm. Pretty big news. There's going to be a lot. They're going to be giving away scholarships for the players that are victorious. So, this is huge. Collegiate esports is heating up.
I mean, it's cool. As you've talked about several times in the show, the more collegiate and high school stuff, the better. The less of it run by NCAA, the better. So ESPN running this instead of the NCAA is probably going to be a good tournament. I think the thing that's most glaring to me is that they did not include games like Counter-Strike or even Call of Duty, even though they've been
They didn't have the Activision Blizzard sales team there to fucking sell them on the dream, dude. That was the problem.
No.
Okay, because problem is that people don't want like gun-focused games in schools. Somehow, I hear that's a touchy subject, and people don't want to.
But that is exactly why they don't have guns. Focus games. No realistic shooters.
Is that so bad?
I'm just.
Do we want that in schools?
Here's the thing. Like, probably not. It's probably not to have, like, what could be considered murder simulators in schools. At the same time, we need to come to terms with that guns are very integral into the culture of America and Europe. And there is a reason why first-person shooter games are, like, the most popular games of this entire industry. So we can't have it both ways. We want to support esports, then you realize that everyone likes to shoot each other in the head, and you can talk about the morality of that all you want, but we fucking do it on a very large scale.
Esports must be stopped.
Future. I'm just impressed that they have games like StarCraft 2 and Heroes of the Storm in there. I mean, clearly they worked out some sort of deal with Blizzard where they could license a whole bunch of their titles because it's like Hearthstone, StarCraft, Heroes of the Storm, and Overwatch. So still, I wonder how many collegiate kids would even be interested in playing a few of those games, given that they're very old now. But hey, who knows? I could be very, very wrong.
I mean, it only takes, you know, maybe there are some of these college kids that were playing StarCraft II, you know, when they were in high school, and now they've gotten really good, and because it's not the super hot flavor of the month right now, the competition is lower, and now these kids are coming, going to come through and scoop up that sweet, sweet scholarship money.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it's a great time to be a young person interested in esports that is of collegiate age. Definitely not hating at all.
That wistful sigh said everything.
But yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, and it's great to see this this part of the industry develop, so that there are more people out there that have like a more clear path to a career in esports. Because it's not just about being a competitive, you know, pro player. I mean, for the colleges that are probably participating in this program, there will probably be other opportunities that come up for the students that at these schools, aside from just competing. You know, there's plenty of skills to be learned on the production side of things, you know, social, marketing, all this stuff, broadcast, commentary, hosting, the whole thing. So I don't know if there's a list of universities, but I'm sure it'll be out soon. And the finals are going to be held May 10th through 12th at Comic Palooza in Houston.
Cool.
Shanks. You know, Comic Palooza in Houston, Woodstock in New York. These are the events that we are looking forward to most easily this year, right? Yeah. You know, the world famous Comic Palooza in Houston and the very much up to date Woodstock are, you know, your must have events for the year. You know, word up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We hello there. How do you? Kids. How do you do, fellow kids? look at Rod. The Activision Blizzard team sales team was busy. They weren't available for this project. We got Comic Palooza. We got ESPN. We got the sponsorships. What more do you want, bro? Come on.
So this will actually air on ESPN, right?
It says it's going to be streamed on various platforms. You do not dare put any of this esports fucking nonsense on television. Because I will tell you, as a lifelong ESPN ball sports fan, I will not have these here video games fucking with my football.
Not even on ESPN2.
Especially not on ESPN2. We got fucking spelling bees, and we got, what else? I'm pretty sure they still play poker, and they probably have, like,
eating contests.
I love eating contests.
Those are legitimate competitive physical endeavors, Rod. Get your fucking video games out of here. We saw it when they tried. You know, we actually saw it. It wasn't that long ago. When Heroes of the Storm was still alive in its infancy, they did this thing called Heroes of the Dorm. They had Tasteless, Artosis, and even those superstars could not save esports from itself on ESPN 2 or 3 or whatever.
You are so right. Even Gutex was on ESPN 2 and nobody gave a shit.
And look at them now. And after 2 years of that, what do? They pull the plug on the whole thing. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I did what you could.
I did my best.
Please, can we get some PogChamps in chat for PogChamp? The pinnacle of esports for ESPN is your face appearing on the broadcast.
It wasn't enough, guys. I did everything.
Joe's dad cried into your arms and like you had.
It wasn't enough, dude. Sorry. I'll do better next time. But they're probably never
Yeah,
will ever.
You better. Yeah. You better. I mean, Long Island Joe's never getting back in a top 8 ever again. So, I mean, you better do something, Ryan.
Look it. if Activision Blizzard sales team can sell spots for $40 million, then all you got to do is believe, Rod. Come on. Get your fucking negative esports attitudes out of here.
Okay. No amount of believing, not even from Activision Blizzard, would get Long Island Joe back in the top 8 or you into like 100 and top 28.
Rod, I've lost more experience in clutch than you will ever have, bro. I've lost more of that over the years.
No, Ryan. Okay. Have you fallen off the map versus Cloud9 in a pivotal game in a series? No, I have. Okay, I've lost in just as many clutch situations as you have, and failed just as miserably against big time teams as you have.
Okay, well, we're neck and neck on failures, Rod, but I'm still ahead of you on victories. Ooh.
Yeah, we're both tied with 0, so you're right. You know, you're doing
Wow. My entire fucking career was fraudulent. Okay, right.
Hey, the world... I watched that East Coast versus West Coast documentary. You were bringing SoCal down, all right? You were supposed to be the lead, all right? The anchor that everyone could count on. You ended up being the anchor that brought the ship down. They couldn't pull it out of the ocean.
Hey, look, Ryan, Slash is only saying all this because he knows that you don't know anything about his Quake history and his Quake failures or his failures in other various games, but we'll get him back, don't you worry.
Thank you.
You can just do your homework.
And you know what? We also, if we ever find out any of Zoreen's Tekken capabilities, we will find out and figure out something for you as well, Zoreen. Don't, you are included, okay?
The last time I went to Evo, I went 2-2. Let's just put it that way.
did those first two people not show up for their pools, or how did you?
Wow.
Hey, I ran into him again at like SCR last year, and he was like, hey, and I was like, hey, and he was like, do you remember you knocked me out in pools at Evo last, like, 2 years ago? Yeah, and I was like, no way! Yeah,
the guy's like, do you remember me? It was such a meaningful moment in my fighting game career. And you're yeah, I totally remember. Good game, bro. There you go, see? You see, Slasher, that's what victory sounds like. We don't remember the names of the trail of everybody on this trail of dead bodies that we left in our wake, okay? But you wouldn't know anything about that, Rod, because all of your victories were in prehistoric esports time when all the wins and losses were carved into stone.
Hey, you know what? My Liquipedia and esports earnings page sounds differently. I have more money earned than Gutex plus Zoreen here on the esports earnings page, okay? And that is what's most important.
Right. We can't put...
Here, the, we gotta... We can't here we go. The money esports that we, earnings
nah, bro,
Slasher
you can't,
versus Gutex.
You no, can't we're, put the money fucking, that these companies... We can't. You can't include your shill money that you get under the table in your fucking esports earnings, bro. Like, that's totally separate. That's a different leaderboard.
We gotta get the Gutex fucking esports leaderboard here.
Oh my god, is this actually happening right now? Oh, we've gotten so off topic that...
Slasher, 2016, 2017, $408.41. Gutex, 2016, $38.40. I have made more esports prize money than
in that time period, sure, because I haven't been competing in years. So I don't even know why would I have 80 earnings during that time?
I mean, you made it to E-League in some cool shades and a jacket. You had some opportunities to make the big bucks. I love the look, and it is my favorite esports look of all time. PogChamp's in the chat for
all of my esports earnings were far beyond your competitive career peak of $400 spread across 3 years, okay? Yeah, you're right. You're right, Rod. You made more money. You made more money than me in that time period because I literally wasn't playing. Congratulations. You did it.
I played some very important 3v3 Overwatch games. Okay, these were the top of the line, most competitive matches of all time.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
Quite the paycheck, too.
I think the most important question here is, Ryan, what tournament did you enter that paid you out $38.41?
Ask Rod. He's ask esportsearnings.com. Clearly, they got a better handle on this shit than I do.
It was recorded earnings. Yeah. Let's see.
Did you have to split it with like six other people or something? Like
it was a Wednesday night fights in 2016 where you got fifth to sixth place.
That's amazing.
You know what? Respectable.
Damn. You get paid out the fifth or sixth place.
I wasn't even playing back then. So what do you want from me? What do you want from me? But look it up. 2009 to 2011. I'm sure my average, my earnings surpass yours.
All right, can we move on from this already?
This is probably the most interesting part of the show. Right? We're trying to measure our dicks here, Zareen. Okay,
yeah, I mean, stand yours aside, obviously, young lady.
Yes. Stand aside.
I would love to come in and say, oh man, imagine if I came in and was like, guys, I'm sorry, I got your birth beat. Definitely the most earnings ever. I won a hard drive from a tournament. I won. What else did I think it was like a hard drive and something random, like a sticker or something. It was, you know, yeah, what? It was fantastic.
I won at least $100 at CEO last summer in the only tournament that I entered.
You win. Congratulations. That's the one.
And I got third place.
You got to file a complaint, an official complaint.
I got a freaking medal, too. Okay.
Oh, you need to file
a medals? How many medals did you get, Rod?
I have a medal. I came second at Devastation. I have that medal.
How many people entered, huh?
I think 11.
Three.
Yeah. Huh. In your very competitive old man game, Rod. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
11
really
people.
Really making a compelling argument, bro. There were 90 people that entered Third Strike at CEO, okay? And I beat a lot of them.
Okay. All right. I'm really happy for your birth. That's great. Fantastic. You're a great Street Fighter player, Gutex. You're a legend in the space.
Thank you.
Slasher, you are the number one esports consultant and also a fantastic Overwatch and Quake player. Let's just leave that now. On to the next topic.
Zareen, you are probably a mediocrely good Tekken player. Probably.
I haven't played the game in like years.
I know. That's why I'm saying you're probably able to use the controller to push the buttons.
I mean, I'd beat your ass for sure.
Whoa. It's toxic, all right? We don't take that type of behavior here.
That's right. On the For Sale Esports show, we will not stand for this type of toxic femininity.
Yeah, I mean, we're really going for that Tucker Carlson Fox News spot, I said, Zareen. Okay, we're trying to get the alt-right wingers in here. Okay, none of your feminism bullshit.
Need not apply.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Let's see.
Speaking of fluggery.
Are we done yet?
I mean, that was pretty much it. Unless you guys.
Well, we're gonna end on the
NBC thing. Oh, the other.
Yeah, that'll be my final.
Okay.
On that.
Okay. New Zealand. Okay. Okay. So in the New Zealand attacks, there was unfortunately a Counter-Strike, a former Counter-Strike player who was killed. Slasher's reporting. Here's one of his. Is this one of his plays?
Yeah.
So his player name, if I'm reading this correctly, was Crazy Arab. Is that right?
Are you playing the?
I'm just playing the clip.
Oh, so okay. This is a highlight of his plays.
Yeah,
plays.
You don't really need the sound or anything. He was a former Counter-Strike service professional. He's also an app developer. He made Windows apps, and he got a Google CEO Sundar Pichai or Microsoft CEO ended up mentioning him a few days ago as well. But he was one of the people unfortunately killed in the mass shooting terrorism that happened in New Zealand, and at least for me, I wanted to commemorate him as much as I could, so I posted a highlight video that was made 10 years of him in a 1-on-4 while he plays Counter-Strike Source. A crowd fund has been created. He leaves behind a 2-year-old daughter and a wife. And a best friend of his and the family has created a community crowd fund for those who want to donate. So I linked the donation link in my tweet. It should be in the second tweet. Ryan, if you wanted to show that.
Give a little .co.nz. Mm-hmm. Lots of generous people out there that have donated. God, that is tragic. Well, yeah.
Yes, rest in peace to Attar, I believe his name was. And thank you for reporting on this. I'm sure his family appreciates all the support as well from the gaming community, so.
Times we all got to remember, it's you never know. You never know when you're gonna go. So we have to cherish the times that we have with the people close to us, and that about is the time that we have this week with these two people that are close to me. So
happy birthday, Ryan.
Oh, thank
happy
you.
Birthday, Ryan.
Today is his actual birthday.
Yes, today is literally his birthday.
And he's spending it here with all of us, so thank you.
I want to see PogChamps in the chat until the show is officially over. Like, you better be spamming fucking PogChamps. If you're fucking not spamming PogChamps, I am going to perma-ban you, as I mentioned earlier. I want to see fucking his... I want to see Gutex's face... The only thing I want to see is his face.
Yeah, let's end on
the rest of the show.
End on a happy note.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all for spending some time talking about the esports with us. Zorin, where do people go for more Zorin in the meantime?
Poggers. You can find me on Twitter. I am at Zorin. You can see my handle right here at Zorine. That's how you spell my name. You can also find me on Twitch, Team Zorin. It's one word. Or on YouTube, Team Zorin. Could also be one word. Or two. Just show up on both.
And Slasher, where do people go aside from the esports earnings leaderboards for more Slasher?
Doesn't fucking matter. PogChamps in the fucking chat, boys. Poggers everywhere. Spam his fucking face until the channel breaks and Gutex's internet can't handle that shit. Happy birthday, you old fuck. You're almost as old as DJ Wheat. You're turning 60, 65 soon. It's been great to be with you. these past 10 years or so, we've come so far from trying to get Street Fighter 4 to be esports to Street Fighter 5 being awful and now esports. And we've seen so many things come and go, but one thing is the same. The fighting game community is still fucking shit comparatively to esports, and things are still the same. Thank you for being with me this whole time. PogChamps and Poggers in the fucking chat, boys.
That is the best birthday message. I know.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. 10 years in the game and counting. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. We'll be back next time, next Tuesday. I think we're settled on 7 p.m. Pacific, but maybe that'll change by next week. Who knows? But yeah, thanks.
Here on this show, livery doesn't matter at all what we say. We will come back next week at some fucking time, which will be delayed even if we tell you beforehand what time we want. But we are going to be trying to make this thing more consistent so you can fucking spam the motherfucking PogChamps chat at the right time.
That's right. Thank you.
Because we need these dollars on this show, all right? We're going to try to get that Activision Blizzard sponsorship. But if Big Dick Mike out there wants to sponsor this show, you can name the show. We will name the show after you for a right amount of money. So please get your money in as soon as possible.
Yep, that's right. The For Sale Esports Show is not going to be for sale for long, not with the Activision Blizzard sales team on board. So get in while you can right now. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gutex. Hit the like button, the follow button, all the good stuff. Thank you so much for watching The Untitled For Sale. Be back next week, Esports Show. See you guys later. Bye.
PogChamps.